This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have a wonderful message by Voice of Prophecy, an exciting health segment, and a kid and adult-friendly recipe from Gia and Olive.
Plus, we have an inspirational musical piece from Alessandro Sorace. Stay with us.
Happy Monday morning to you, and thank you for joining us this Monday morning at Wake Up With Hope.
We are celebrating National Family and Community Day. It's a day that highlights the importance of spending time with our loved ones.
You know, families and communities are two incredibly important things. You know, it's important to build strong and solid family relationships. You know, those relationships will in turn strengthen our communities.
That's correct. So today we want to encourage you to celebrate. Spend some time reflecting on how you can spend more quality time with your loved ones, and make it a point to do so, especially today.
That's right. You know, and if you need ideas on what to do, how about spending some time cooking together? That would be fun. We do that occasionally.
That is a lot of fun.
You know, Gia and Olive will be in the kitchen later on today's program, showing us a new recipe as they bond over preparing a nice meal. And we can do the same.
That's right.
But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1620, the Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers on a journey to the Americas. The ship was destined for Virginia, where the colonists, comprising both religious dissenters and entrepreneurs, had received permission from the British Crown to establish a settlement. However, due to severe weather and navigational mistakes, the Mayflower was pushed off course. On November 21, the Pilgrims arrived in Massachusetts, where they later established the first permanent European settlement in the New England in late December.
You know, just as the Pilgrims set sail on the Mayflower with hopes and dreams, trusting God to guide them on their journey, we too should embark on life's journeys with faith, even when the path seems uncertain. You know, the Pilgrims faced storms and were blown off course, but God had a plan for them in a place that they had not intended to go. You know, friends, the disciples of Jesus also faced many challenges and hardships as they followed him. You know, they endured persecution, rejection, and the uncertainty of leaving everything behind to spread the gospel. Yet, through it all, they remained steadfast, trusting that God would lead them where they needed to be. And so it is with us. You know, when life storms and unexpected detours disturb our plans, we can trust God. Trust that He's still leading us towards His perfect purpose and plan for our life. Just as the Pilgrims and the disciples were guided to fulfill their God-given missions, we too can find peace in knowing that God's plans for us are perfect, even if they take us on paths we didn't expect. So friends, trust Him with your life today. Keep the faith and be sure that His guidance is unfailing. He will bring you safely to the place where you are meant to be.
Amen. What good lessons we can learn from those Pilgrims. Well, we've got you covered this morning on spending quality bonding time with your loved ones. Gia and Olive join us today to share a healthy and delicious recipe you and yours can also make together and eat together. Vegetarian gravy is on the menu today.
Go.
Hi.
Hi. So today, what are we making? We're making gravy. We're making a vegan-friendly gravy, animal cruelty-free gravy. But that's not the reason we're making it. We're making it because we are just trying to figure out healthier options for gravy in our house for the kids. So all it is 1.5 cups or 2 cups of vegetable stock, any vegetable stock that you have. Oh, she's trying to balance there. Now we're going to put some tahini, 2 tablespoons of tahini. So this will give it some thickness. And 1 tablespoon of soy sauce. That'll give it like that salty. Now, if your vegetable stock is quite I don't know, strong, you don't want to put more than half a tablespoon of soy sauce because then it'll be too salty. Okay? And this is the magic ingredient. It's rice flour. It's a quarter of a cup of brown rice flour, and this is what's going to thicken the gravy. So we'll put that in there. And all you do now is you keep stirring until it's thick. This was a recipe I got from Forks Over Knives. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's a great movie, Forks Over Knives. It's all vegetarian and vegan, but it talks about health. And yeah, the recipes on their website are fantastic. So I've changed it a little bit to suit our taste buds. But yeah, it's pretty good. So we'll just let it thicken up. Is that delicious? That is so ripe. So I've lowered the heat. It just brought it to the boil and lowered the heat. And now as I've lowered the heat, it's starting to thicken. So it was cooking on the stove for probably around 5 minutes. As soon as it starts to thicken up, you can see now the rice flour is helping it thicken up. Then you know your gravy is nearly ready. There you go. So you just stir occasionally until it gets really thick. Ooh, this is looking really good. And so what I've got for this, I've got some mashed potato because my kids love mashed potato. You can add peas to it and you put your gravy on top. Let's try that here. Let's get some gravy on top. It's like a golden color. It's really thick. And if you want it to make it a bit runny, you can add some warm water, but we love it like this. So there you have it, your golden healthy gravy.
Dr. Randy Bivens is back this morning sharing an exciting and important health law, temperance. What is it? And what should we know about it? Let's find out now.
Joy, temperance, and repose slammed the door on the doctor's nose. Although this was said in the early 1800s by Longfellow, it's as relevant as ever today. Think about it. Too much of anything is bad. Even drinking too much water can be deadly. Wouldn't you agree that we need to keep our habits in check? Take the sun, for example. Sunlight is a great example of moderation for health. It only takes a few minutes of full exposure in the middle of the day to convert adequate amounts of vitamin D. Yet, while enjoying 20 to 30 minutes in the sun can have an amazingly positive influence on our mood, spending too much time in the sun can lead to sunburn and even cancer. Some of you may associate the word temperance with the temperance movement of the 1800s, which, among other things, urged or prohibited the consumption of alcoholic beverages. But temperance is much more than avoiding alcohol or limiting yourself to one lump of sugar in your tea. Try to think of temperance as a state of mind wherein you seek to practice balance with your body and your passions. It's really an age-old conflict, stretching back to ancient Greece and even to the dawn of mankind. If you remember the story, the first humans, Adam and Eve, struggled with intemperance in diet and wound up eating the forbidden fruit. So how do we practice moderation in our own lives? As mentioned earlier, we need to figure out how to control our bodies and our actions. An extremely challenging place to do this is in our diets. Obesity in much of the advanced world is becoming a widespread public health issue that, if left unchecked, will soon become the leading cause of death. So when it comes to your food choices, think and choose temperately. Eat enough to sustain your physical needs and choose nutrient-rich foods that will make your body happy. Other products that stimulate our senses like nicotine, caffeine, and depressants like alcohol are another subject I'd like to touch on. Historically, temperance had a strong association with alcohol. Recently, many scientific studies have been conducted on the health benefits of drinking small amounts of alcohol, but they haven't done much but muddy the waters. One long-standing truth remains clear: what starts as occasional or light drinking can quickly become a habit, and habitual drinking is clearly a health hazard. Because of this, although we're talking about moderation, I think alcohol might be an area where total abstinence is a better choice. When it seems like our lives are spinning out of control, Temperance can help us regain direction. It is about balance and control, remember? In our exceedingly digital world, most, if not all of us, could probably spend much of the day with our eyes glued to some form of screen. Where's the life in that? Where's the joy? Practice temperance with your reliance on technology and take a moment to collect your thoughts and simply breathe. Spend a little extra time with your friends and family and engage in a real conversation without a television blaring in the background. The true key to living a temperate lifestyle lies in our minds. We need to learn to safeguard our thoughts and carefully monitor our emotions. If you're the type to give rise to anger easily, take a few deep breaths and learn the power of forgiveness. If you're prone to bragging, give way to more humble conversation. If you're the judgmental type, give compassion or empathy a try. Think of your mind as a springboard for all of your actions. If you can learn to use your mind carefully and wisely, you will have won the battle against intemperance.
Are you enjoying today's show? Well, inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can never miss an episode.
And just in a few moments, the Health Connection will be back. See you in just a minute. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. We hope you're enjoying our program today.
Right now, it's time for music as Alessandro Sorace sings, "By His Stripes We Are Healed."
Sorrows. Yet
We hope you take advantage of the different programs that we have put together, specially designed with you in mind, to strengthen your relationship with Jesus.
Speaking of which, don't forget to claim your free Bible studies from Hope.Study. Don't wait another day.
When we return, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be with us to share. Don't go anywhere.
It's now time for our morning devotional brought to us from our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
The story of David and Goliath is a favorite of many young people alike. Maybe it's the fairy tale or dream nature of it that captivates us. I mean, what young person hasn't pretended to be a noble knight defending the kingdom from a giant? I know I did when I was young. And so the biblical story resonates with most Christians. And for us older folks, it sort of takes us back to our youth. It was in my youth that I first learned of the story, not through the reading of the Bible, but through a kid's song that we sang in church school, entitled Only a Boy Named David. For those of you who've never heard it, here are some of the lyrics. Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook. Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came a-tumbling down. This story is a story of faith. While there are many lessons to glean from it, one of the greatest lessons is that, with the Lord, we can face the giants of life and conquer, regardless of the odds. Singing the song over and over again served to cement this and many other lessons in my mind. However, that was not the only thing that stuck in my mind. Unwittingly, there was another message that was subconsciously conveyed by this song. The story is about a young boy who had been previously anointed to be the eventual king of Israel. What likely intrigues us most is that the Israelite army was paralyzed with fear when David arrived at the camp and heard the taunting of the Philistine giant. Outraged by Goliath's disrespect of God and witnessing all of the soldiers doing nothing to defend the name of the Lord, David took it upon himself to defeat the giant. Upon approach, Goliath recognized him as a boy and was outraged. The battle was short-lived. David picked up several smooth stones and then rushed at the giant. In a matter of seconds, he had launched a projectile that hit Goliath right in the forehead. The battle was over before it began. But what was the other message that was conveyed by the kids' song, you might ask? Well, simply, that the boy David never really grew up. At least in my mind, he will always be a young lad that stood up to fight Goliath. Yeah, I know. There's much more about him as a grown-up in Scripture. And although I've read those stories too, it's the story of his youth that remains at the forefront of my mind, along with the artistic renditions of what he looked like, which typically depict a scrawny young lad taking on a towering giant, just like the make-believe dreams of when I was a kid doing the same. But wait just a minute. Not so fast. Verse 51 of 1 Samuel 17 says that David did not have a sword. After the giant fell, he stood over his victim, drew Goliath's own sword from its sheath, and struck off his head. That should raise a few flags. Later in the life story of David, we read that he fled from King Saul, who was jealous of him and wanted to kill him. He had to leave so quickly that he didn't take a weapon. Stopping by to see Ahimelech, the priest, he asked for a sword or spear. The priest responded that there was nothing there but the sword of Goliath that David had taken from him. David's response is telling. He said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Now that should put things into perspective a bit. While there's some disagreement on how tall Goliath was, all agree that he was not of average size. The biblical account puts him at 6 cubits, which translates to over 11 feet tall. While the size of his sword is not mentioned in Scripture, the rest of his armor is described to include his massive spear. It would be safe to assume that his sword was also a daunting weapon. Notice that David did not respond to Ahimelech in shock or disappointment. Instead, he seems happy to have Goliath's sword. This could imply only one thing. David was not the little boy of our childhood song. At some point, and probably well on his way when he fought Goliath, David grew up and was a bit of a giant man himself. In fact, if you read the stories and endeavors of his mighty men, you will notice that these guys were more like beasts than they were men. And David was their commanding general, fighting side by side with them and leading the charge. Rest assured that he was no slouch. He and his men fought through many courageous battles, and his men, well, they sacrificed life and limb for him. And this dedication to him is what makes David's sin with Bathsheba even greater. As if lust and adultery was not enough, David took to him the wife of Uriah, one of his most faithful companions and devoted warriors, who belonged to the 37 of his most mightiest men. The betrayal of Uriah was cold and heartless, and like many who turned from God, could have sealed David's eternal fate. And yet, after the prophet Nathan exposed David's sin and rebuked him in the name of the Lord, explaining that the consequence of his great sin would result in the death of the child he had fathered with Bathsheba, we find one of the most sincere and powerful acts of repentance and confession recorded in Scripture. It was because of the depth of his humility when corrected that the Lord calls him a man after God's own heart. How is your heart this morning? Have you done things that you aren't proud of? Are there choices that you have made that plague you and keep you from living a life full of joy, peace, and hope? If so, then I encourage you to turn to the God of David. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice the use of the word all. All means there's nothing that you have done that God cannot and will not forgive. There's no pit deep enough that His arm can't reach down and pull you from. There's no mountain that you've climbed that is tall enough to keep you from His grace. There's no filth dirty enough that can't be washed clean. The only thing that will keep you from peace is not confessing. God cannot save those who will not turn to Him. So this morning, I invite you to give it all to Jesus. In His omniscience, He already knows everything you've ever done, said, or thought. You are not surprising Him. He is patiently waiting for you to turn to Him so that He can bless you and keep you in His loving arms. Why not reach out for the hope of Christ today? Let me pray with you. Father, today we come to You asking that You will bless us. Lord, we look at this story of David and how, Father, he turned from You, and for a moment he let his own passions take over. And what seemed that would be the end of his spiritual journey, Lord, You were able to rescue him from. And sometimes we beat ourselves up, Lord, in the same way. We think of all the evil things that we have done or said or thought. And the devil, that old devil, Father, tries to tell us that we are no good and that we can't be loved by God. And so this morning, Father, this morning I ask that You will drive the devil away and that You will give us courage, knowing that we are loved by God. Thank You, Father, for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for those encouraging words.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us here today and watching Wake Up With Hope.
Please join us again tomorrow morning as Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional, and we'll have a dedicated prayer session, music from Mary Lou Inks, and a special feature on foods that harm the brain. If you enjoyed today's messages and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides are sure to be life-changing. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39.
It says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
What an amazing promise we have here, friends. Nothing at all can ever separate us from God's love. Friends, don't ever forget that.
Amen. What a beautiful way to start this day remembering that powerful promise. We pray that you enjoyed your time with us today, and we wish you a happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we could not ask for a better way to start a new week. Our hearts are filled with encouragement and with hope. And Lord, we're going to take that promise to heart that today, as we walk by faith in you, as we go throughout our day, that we would always continuously remember that nothing can separate us from your love. May we know who we are in Christ. We are loved and we are yours. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.